In the midst of a global pandemic, farmers in India continue to gather in the country's capital, determined to make their voices heard. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Well, despite freezing temperatures, bouts of pouring rain, and the ongoing threat of COVID-19, tens of thousands of farmers have been camped out in protest for 45 days in New Delhi. They claim three new national farm laws were made without consultation. The government says reforms are aimed at increasing farm income and productivity, but farmers feel they'll lose out on earnings and government-guaranteed crop prices. Today, the Supreme Court criticized the government's handling of the situation and suggested putting the legislation on hold for another round of consultation. From the Indian capital, the BBC's Arunade Mukherjee explains a resolution to the standoff might not be straightforward.
This has been a very critical political issue for Prime Minister Modi's government. When he came to power in his second term, he promised to double farmer incomes in the next 2 years. And that's exactly why this has been a very important law on part of the government to try and push through. But there have been several questions that have been raised, especially by India's opposition, accusing the government of not consulting the farmers before actually passing these laws, which has led to further misinformation, which the government says is at the root of why the farmers seem to be confused about a lot of these laws. But the government has maintained that these laws are much needed in the agriculture sector because it gives farmers more choices, because it eliminates the presence of middlemen and allows farmers to essentially go directly to whoever they want, which could give them various options for the prices for their produce.
So, Arunade, what will it take to find a solution? Because clearly neither side wants to give ground on this standoff. Do you think action from the Supreme Court will force some kind of negotiation?
As we speak, just a short while back, the Supreme Court made a few scathing observations accusing the government of mishandling the farmer agitation, asking why was the government insisting to implement these laws even in the face of such intensifying protests. They cited the example of those thousands of farmers who've been sitting in protest. They're worried about their well-being, especially because of the inclement weather as well as the coronavirus pandemic. The court also observed, and I quote from the Chief Justice of India, who said, "Each one of us would be responsible if anything goes wrong. We don't want any injuries or blood on our hands." So the court essentially today said it is in favor to form a committee to look into the farmer concerns, which can then submit a report on these laws and ask the government whether they should put these laws on hold or whether the Supreme Court should intervene on its own and put these laws on hold before a final decision can be arrived at, when a special committee can really weigh the pros and cons of this and then arrive at a conclusion.
Is there a timeline for any of this, do you think?
Well, the court had a fairly exhaustive hearing today where both sides argued their case, and the court said that they could come up with a decision in a couple of hours today, or it could even pronounce a decision tomorrow. Whether the court actually stays these laws or not, or whether the court constitutes a committee which will further look into these laws and come to a conclusion.
The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee for us in New Delhi. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are retreating from record highs this morning. Key European benchmarks are down in the 0.3% to 0.4% range. China's Shanghai Composite Index shed 1% this morning. That move comes as the country brought in new rules today aimed at protecting domestic companies from what it calls unjustified foreign laws. That's as an executive order is due to come into effect from President Trump today, banning Americans from owning shares in dozens of Chinese companies that the White House says are linked to China's military. Meanwhile, Twitter shares have fallen as much as 7% ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street after the social network permanently banned President Trump from its platform. 2021 is likely to be a year of more lockdowns and more social distancing, even with a global vaccine rollout in place. That's the sobering forecast from the OECD's chief economist, Laurence Boone. Speaking from Paris, she told the BBC's Karishma Viswani, governments must keep spending to help shore up their economies in the face of this unprecedented crisis.
The global economic outlook for this year will improve, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, but much depends on how smooth the rollout of vaccines is. Chief economist Laurence Boone told me that even with a vaccine distribution plan in place, it won't mean an end to lockdowns or social distancing just yet.
I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying we've seen that it worked in 2020. We probably have another 6 to 9 or 12 months of this ahead of us. We must keep going, both with the confinement, the government support, and deploy the vaccine as fast, as efficiently, and securely as possible.
Ms. Boone also recommended governments continue to spend as much as they can to help boost business and tide individuals over, even if that means adopting a more relaxed attitude to managing national budgets.
These measures that we have strongly advocated do make sense because this crisis is temporary. So we're talking about temporary measures and a temporary increase in debt to GDP ratio. And once we're out of the crisis, where most of the production, you know, fabric, the social, the economic fabric will have been preserved thanks to this measure, then we will have to take a step back, look at the evolution of public finances across country, and not only since COVID-19, but also since the financial crisis, and see whether this is sustainable, whether governments are spending their money on the right priorities.
The Stark forecast highlights how challenging the health crisis has been for both rich and poor countries, and the difficult road they now face. The OECD also warns of widening inequality, with lower-paid workers and informal jobs at most risk. I'm the BBC's Karishma Vaswani for Marketplace.
Finally, Saudi Arabia today outlined plans for a new futuristic city it's calling The Line. It will span roughly 100 miles, and it's estimated to cost $500 billion to build. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman said there will be no roads or cars there, and transport for both people and freight will all be done underground. While there's no time frame for the completion of the city, the construction is expected to create nearly 400,000 jobs, though analysts say there's skepticism the project will ever be fully realized. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.